The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning all, Ryan Tuberty with you this Wednesday morning. It's the 2nd of December 2020 at 4 minutes past nine. Delighted to have your company today. Beautiful, crisp, cool and crisp and even outside in Dublin, Ireland, which is beautiful. Now, what have I today? Loads for you today. Looking forward to speaking with Dawn French a little later on. She's written another novel and she's probably one of the busiest people in show business at the moment. An engaging, intriguing person. So she's going to be making her way into studio in London somewhere, I suspect, in the next 15 minutes or so. So we'll bring that to you as soon as she lands. Other news, congratulations to Martin Dunn and my old friend Richard Quinlan and the gang at the National Ambulance Service at the awards recently. They won two awards at the Irish Healthcare Awards. On Dúis War, best response to COVID-19 in public sector, non-hospital. Congratulations to them all. And thanks again to the National Ambulance Service for their commitment and dedication in providing their response to the pandemic. It's, you know, they're people I never knew or thought I'd have met or be introduced to in my life other than the most peculiar circumstances when they came on the Late Late Show all those months ago to show us what it swab test looked like and just to reassure us, and here's what PPE looks like. And crikey, I mean, when I think back, they did the test on me that night, and then within a couple of days I had that test. Wasn't a real test, that was because we didn't want to waste a test on a TV show, as it were. But then within a few days I had the bloody thing myself, and before I knew it I was back in the system. But they are extraordinary people, and if you're listening, you are extraordinary people. You deserve the awards, but more importantly, I think you deserve our thanks, and that thanks continues apace. I see the Mayor of Dublin, Lord Mayor of Dublin, Hazel Chuba, saying that the Christmas dinners for the homeless usually happens at the RDS, but they can't go on there. But so she's offered the forecourt and garden of the Mansion House on Christmas Day, with the organisers then arriving to distribute Christmas dinners, obviously in a COVID-compliant way. That's a nice gesture, and that's pretty important too. And down in Cork, our friends, the people of Cork, have rallied together. Good on yous. Good on yous. Echolive.ie reporting that they were searching for ages for an alternative space for their annual Christmas Day dinner, for the Cork Penny Dinners. They do amazing. They're saints. They found the perfect location. And this is thanks to Michael Mulcahy and John Minahan, found the ideal location in an underground car park at Lancaster Hall. Imagine. It's owned by Frank and Joey Sheehan, and they were happy to hand over for the cause and the big event on Christmas Day, which means that people in need across Cork can come together safely to enjoy Christmas Day and a festive sit-down meal. That's lovely. So well done to one and all. There's lovely just sense of flow of kindness and generosity there. Over in Wexford, meanwhile, in the sunny southeast or thereabouts, the Wexford Mental Health Association, they've been busy too. They're going to bring joy and hope and a bit of cheer to the people of Wexford. From the 1st to the 8th of December, they've gathered a lineup of well-known personalities from Wexford to speak about the Big Eight wellness tools from their recently published Pocket Wellness Guide. So you can go on their Facebook page every morning at 7 a.m. from the 1st to the 8th of December. So that's happening as we speak. Wexford Mental Health Association.ie. And if the likes of Owen Colfer and Malcolm Byrne and others from Wexford advising you to stay active and eat well and sleep well and get fresh air and connect with people and begin doing things and get creative and switch off and relax, which is important, important thing to do, isn't it? Finished watching The Undoing on Monday, the last episode. Hugh Grant, funny, spoke to one person yesterday, said, wasn't Hugh Grant dreadful in it? Spoke to another person who said, wasn't Hugh Grant just extraordinary in it? Amazing. I thought he was very good in it myself, but everyone said, not everyone. One person's ham is another person's Olivier. And it just depends on who you are and what you expect from somebody. But he said recently it's been quite an exhausting 6 weeks, either resisting looking at Twitter to see how people are reacting or giving in after a few drinks and spending 4 hours of the night either being pleased or outraged at how people are reacting to certain things, or indeed depressed when they say, Christ, he looks ancient. He looks 150. Let's give him a facial. As for Grant's recent acting resurgence, he said it's motivated by Family, and for family read, money. He said, I don't have a name for it, really, except feeding children. I mean, I have a lot of children. I have a lot of mouths to feed. He's a dad to five, so obviously. But I think his repertoire has expanded, and as a result, I think he'll have plenty of meals on the table for his family in coming years, no doubt about it. Tweet by Stephen Murdoch, who's a Canadian PR guy, and he... What he said is he was working. He said, I've worked in PR for many years and I've written many media releases and I've issued many press releases. But this is one of the best press releases ever. And it's from the Biden-Harris transition team for immediate release, which is a statement from the co-first dog-elect Major Biden. I mentioned he's one of the Alsatians or the German Shepherds who will be joining us. And reading the, if you read the release, it reads like this. Allow me to translate. It says, I wish my adopted father a speedy recovery, but I strongly maintain that I've done nothing wrong. I look forward to the Secret Service's investigation, which I expect will confirm that I'm a very good boy. That's after Joe Biden got a hairline fracture on his ankle or thereabouts because he was playing with his dog. And that's the dog's reaction. Absolutely denying any upset or pain. Did nothing wrong, which is his adopted father a speedy recovery. Clever. According to tourism... expert, very good, tourism expert and futurist Valentina Dorley says Joe Biden's pride in his Irish roots in both Mayo and Louth could not have come at a better time for Ireland as the global tourism sector seeks to recover from the worst industry shock since World War II. So they reckon in the Indo.ie that the Biden effect will boost Irish tourism recovery in 2021. These passports, the COVID passports that might be our ticket to the skies and to holidays abroad post-vaccine will be very interesting. And let's see. Well, let's just see. Dare to dream. Dare to dream. Nothing wrong with that today. I got a copy of Ireland's Own Christmas Annual. I'm loving this. I was really... Thank you to Sean Nolan, the editor, for sending it in. Because there's just so much reading in it. A lovely piece on David Kelly, the great actor, from his son. And there's this history of Do They Know It's Christmas, and they feature a photograph of the original vinyl cover from that single, which my older brother had. And I was completely brought back when I saw it, the picture of it, because it was done by the Sergeant Peter Blake, who did the Sergeant Peppers. And it's a beautiful. I would love it. If anyone has a copy of it, that would be in a position. If you see it in a charity shop or something, I'd love to take it off your hands. For a substantial fee, no, but it's just something I'd love in my collection because it's gorgeous. Do They Know It's Christmas, the original single. Lovely. But then go back to the page 120 and the miscellaneous ads and requests. One says, I'm looking for a biography of the Liberal politician David Lloyd George. I would appreciate if any reader could help me. The innocence. Last chance. I'm looking to hear from the lovely woman who I danced with at the Hazel 3 before the lockdown. She told me that she was originally from Dungarvan and now living in Youghal, County Cork. Hope to hear from her. Name with editor. This happens. I'm looking, says another, for picture cards of English soccer players, 1940s to 30s and 20s, that were issued with cigarette packets at the time. All these people with their personal peccadilloes and interest in life, just curious to know, can they be helped? And then I was triggered again by when I saw a picture of Buster Annual from 1983, which I have a copy of in a section about books and annuals and Christmas by Liz Walsh. Anyway, I got lost in that, an absolute rabbit hole of nostalgia. And it's the most, if I had a cousin or relation abroad, I would buy Ireland's Own today and I'd put it in an envelope and I'd say, there you go. That's what Ireland looks like and looked like. And it's just distinctly, it's a bit like the toy show. You wouldn't be able to explain Ireland's Own really to anyone else on the planet, to be honest with you. Bill Lennan has a very nice piece in the parenting section of the Irish Independent this morning, talking about my Fanta incident on the toy show and how I let loose with a curse word. And he says, look, I will have watched the show a million times and another chance to enjoy Ryan Tuberty swearing, but he didn't simply swear on live TV. He did it in front of a child, and not even his own child, but someone else's child. In fact, he swore in front of all of our children. And while I was disappointed with his clarification on Monday morning, that wasn't the mighty F-bomb, but was rather the slightly less potent, more genteel one, which rhymes with pollocks, and which that he uttered, it was still the high point of the night for me. You see, kids, I crackled. It's not just me, Look upon your hero now, TV's Mr. Nice, cursing like a sailor, albeit like the yachting variety rather than the merchant navy ones. It was a moment which offered succour to the weary, foul-mouthed, bedraggled parents of Ireland. If consummate professional tubs can swear on the biggest night of the year, then we can all feel a bit better about the muttered, whispered, rasped and occasionally shouted expletives that helped us get through life with kids. It was a moment that I thought, yep, this guy gets it. You're there trying your best and some bottle of pop sprays all over your jumper and that stuff is like an industrial adhesive, so you're going to be binning your lovely jumper and the Johnny Logan jacket is a write-off too. That orange will never come out. Swear, let the fury and frustration out, Ryan, because you tried to do something nice for the kids and the universe stuck its oar in, so let the power of the dark side course through you like Fanta through a synthetic knit. Who among us hasn't tried their best and stumbled? Who hasn't been weary from trying to make every day magical? Who hasn't drawn energy or comfort from swearing in the company of children? What parent hasn't thought box to the challenges our kids face, the sickness, the pain? Who hasn't thought box to this year and all it brought, box to the COVID, the fear and the destruction it brought, box to 2020? And here's to swear and hope-filled 2021. Well said, Bill. Bill nailed it. That's exactly what happened and how it felt. And then there's another piece beside it by David Coleman all about why everyone cried at watching the toy show. Because we're all, as I was saying myself, the following week on Monday, we were all on the cusp of tears for some reason or another. And it just allowed us to let it out. Barack Obama bestowed the Medal of Freedom on when he was president on Bob Dylan, on James Taylor, on Stevie Wonder, on Diana Ross, Gloria Estefan, Barbara Streisand, among others. And he was asked the other night, why didn't you give Dolly Parton the Medal of Honor? He said, actually, that was a screw up. I'm surprised, he said. I think I assumed that she'd already gotten one. And that was incorrect. She deserves one, he said. I'll call Biden. So Dolly's looking like she's going to get herself a Medal of Honor at some point. And I see in RT's Christmas schedule has been announced. And we will all be watching Willy Wonka and Home Alone 2 and Mrs. Doubtfire and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. But I'm very keen to see a documentary by Billy Keen going looking for the truth behind the murder that inspired The Field, his dad's seminal work. Very interested in that. And in a documentary about Johnny Cash in Ireland, The Man Comes Round. There's going to be a programme about the Christmas busk for Glenn Hansard and friends raising awareness for homelessness. I'll have a big announcement about that and the Late Late Show in a week or two's time, but I'll just hold my wish now. What I can tell you is that Dolly Parton will be on the Late Late Show. This is big news for us, and she's somebody we've wanted to have on for a long time, and she'll be on December the 11th because we're going to just revolve the show around her and do an unseasonal, but let's make it seasonal, a country Christmas special, Late Late Show on December the 11th. That's this Friday week. This Friday is all about Sharon Shannon, incidentally, and we'll have Uthran the Heron and Michael D. Higgins. We'll have Adam Clayton from that popular four-piece quartet from Dublin, U2, and among others. I mean, it's going to be a Mardi Gras for Sharon, who's one of the greats in the showbiz. But the following week, then, it's a country special, as I say, with Dolly Parton. And then a big news for the following week after that. So it's pretty good stuff happening. But I'm very excited about Dolly Parton because what she does for children, for books, her resilience, it's just amazing. And her story is amazing. And her voice is amazing. And her talent is extraordinary. And I was reading there yesterday that she, one of her great regrets is that that Elvis Presley didn't record what I think is my favourite Dolly Parton song. And could you imagine this song in the hands of Elvis Presley? Anyway, she said she couldn't do it because Colonel Tom Parker, who seemed to be quite a vulture of a character and was Elvis's manager, said, yeah, he'll sing it if he can have half the royalties. So she said, look, beat it with that. That's not going to happen. So it didn't happen, and Elvis was upset, and she was upset. It was a shame because he would have done a beautiful job on this. We all know more recently the Whitney Houston version of it, but I'm going to play the original because I think it's more pure and it's more simple, it's more plaintive and it's more beautiful, and it's Dolly Parton singing I Will Always Love You.
I will always love you.
Whew. You wouldn't be much the better for that after that, would you? It's very, very beautiful, as I say, plaintive and emotional. That's Dolly Parton. She'll be joining us on the Late Late Show on Friday week. That's exciting news. The only version that should ever be played. Goosebumps every single time, says Mary. It's very gorgeous. And there was a good, there are about two or three really good Elvis impersonators in Ireland. And I was a member of the Irish Elvis Presley fan club once. I don't know if I've admitted that. but I'm happy to because I'm a fan. And you know something? I'd love one of them to cover that for us, send it in to us, and we'll have a listen. I just can't help but hearing. I want to hear Elvis sing. No, really. One of the lads to give it, get the jumpsuit on, get busy with your karaoke machine. Let's have a listen to it. Come on. This is a democracy here, for God's sake. Hope all is well, and now as if things weren't bad enough, you go and play my funeral song. Well, Owen, you know, if you were able to hear that song, clearly we're not too late, so that's good news. As you cry into your coffee, that's okay. My makeup is a mess listening to that. But that's why it's so, you see, Whitney's version is, it's kind of like hen night belter, whereas Dolly's is, it's like Owen thinking about his funeral in his coffee. In a good way. Yeah. You know.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right, I played Dolly Parton singing I Will Always Love You, and Nolene was on to say, I've always argued that Dolly's version of the original, the original as it is, her own, is more beautiful than Whitney's. No disrespect to Whitney's, obviously. Powerful voice. There's a quality of almost pain in Dolly's voice that suits the sentiment of the song so much more. Did you know it was written as a farewell? I did, because I was doing some homework on her to her mentor of 7 years, Porter Wagner, and following Parton's decision to leave the Porter Wagner show and pursue a solo career. Indeed. I listened to Dawn and Jennifer's new podcast and audiobook. It was great fun. I laughed out loud while baking and staying sane. Good. Your show, meanwhile, always enjoyable as always, keeping me sane as I work. In total agreement with you about Dolly's version. It's beautiful and, as you say, pure. And I'm sitting back now in the desk and enjoying. Good. That's what we're here for. That is what we're here for. All right, I'll go on then. Go, look, rubber arm.
I light a candle.
Oh, good man, Macca. And pipes of peace. I enjoyed that immensely. Thanks for your company. We'll see you tomorrow between 9 and 10. Stay tuned for Claire Byrne and have a wonderful day.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.